Praise the Lord, everyone. I noticed when the children were singing and the balls were going through the air, some real puzzle look on some of our guests' face, like, what are they doing? But sometimes when you deal with kids, you have to make things a little exciting. Because if they get quiet, they're thinking up something to do. I saw a sign in a store the other day. It said, when you have children and you don't hear any noise, it's not because they're being good. It's suspicious. So that's kind of the way it is sometimes. But then sometimes they can be quiet and they're being good. But we're here this morning to dedicate these babies. But more than that, we're dedicating the parents. Because these children, they can't raise themselves. And our parents have to do that. And they have to have God on their side, especially in this world we're living in. Because without God, we can't do it. There's just no way. Okay, I would like my little elves to come up. Now, let's see. Cecily, where are you? Hey, tell Cecily I need her in here, and I need Lolly in here, too. Oh, no. Okay. She's already got her side pinned on then. That's another thing. The babies have a hunger, and when they want to eat, they don't want to wait. Okay, this morning we have Adela. She knows her name. If the Littles would stand. I think Andy got his boy and girl all mixed up, all mixed together, because she likes tractors, she likes trucks, and she likes dolls, so she's got a good mixture there. Good gal. Okay, and then we have the Grapers. Her name is Thea Alina Dawn, right? Okay, I got it. And then we have Leandra and she's here. You know, this younger generation likes to give these different names.
Azriel Yesera.
You got that? And then we have Esther and Jackson and their little baby, Gabriella. And then they're also dedicating Darlene. So I guess she didn't get dedicated earlier, so they wanted to do both of them today. And then we have Shannon Fry, if you'll stand. There you are. And her little boy's name is Marshall Robert. If Pastor Roy will allow Bishop to come up. Oh. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I sorry I'm getting around kind of slow. I was over at my granddaughter's home, and we have a great grandchild, Cole. And I was having a little struggle getting off the sofa. So I was pushing. I finally got myself to the edge so I could pick myself up. Cole saw me. And he ran over there, put his little arm out like this and says, "Grab a hold of this, Papa." I looked down, his little old arms are about this big. So I used my legs to push myself up, and he grunted. He looked at me and he says, "Thank you, Papa." Oh, praise God. One thing we've done with our boys, and then with our grandkids, now great-grandkids, we've tried to teach them to have a good attitude about everything. You know, you cannot control everything that happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. So we teach them to laugh a lot. Teach them to say, "I love you." We're talking a little Cole, and this is about a year ago, and he's six now, so he'd be five then. Sister Grant, his great grandmother, and Lana and Marvin took him in Menards. I don't think there's wards anymore, is there? And we got up to pay the bill, and he looks up at the lady, and the lady looks down at him. She was about to say something. He opened his mouth, and he says, "I love you, ma'am." Oh, my, I love you. So today I want to speak on the subject, your attitude determines your destiny. Now, that doesn't mean if you have a good attitude, regardless of what you do, that you'll go to heaven. Now, this actually happened in Tyler, Texas, in the year 2014. Two sisters live in Longview. That's about 20 miles from Tyler. I have one sister that lives in Henderson. That's about 40 miles from Tyler. But what happened, a couple of guys walked in a bank, and they were going to rob the bank. They had a mask on, a ski mask, and a cap, stocking cap, had a gun. They walked up to the teller lady and says, "Fill his sack up with money." And the lady got so nervous, she started crying. And then she started praying. She says, "Oh God, I've done anything that you're not pleased with. Please forgive me. I don't want to die." She says, I know what the guns can do. And she just wept. Finally, the guy says, "Hold it a minute." He pulls his ski mask off. He says, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Well, I am too." So he said, "I tell you what, if you go in the back and fill this sack up, I won't shoot you." She ran in the back and filled it up. But I think this tells you that you can have a good attitude and not go to heaven. But it is just so good to see these kids grow up, and they play together, they go to class together, they laugh together, and here in the church, sometimes after service, the parents stand around and visit, and the kids get a little bit playful. I sit up there and wait a while and have a mic in my hand, and quite often I have to say, "Okay, kids, I know church is over, but this is not a playhouse." They just love each other, you know. And we've got so many kids, and we got several kids coming. Can you believe that? And if there's anybody else that's having a baby that they haven't revealed it to, you can raise your hand. let us know. You know, and the thing about it is, you take these babies and you say, "Oh, that is the most handsome young man." You know, like in the case with Dane, I said, your little boy looks just like you. Man, I'll tell you, he smiles. And that little old boy, heavy eyebrows. And, you know, and that's what we say, all of them, you look just like your mom or dad. 6 months later, they kind of look like their mom and dad. And a year later, they look pretty good. But they're changing. They're changing. And it is just amazing. Just amazing how that God put life into these kids and pulsation and caused them to breathe and live. I still think that the greatest miracle on the planet Earth is the birth of a child. It's just so different, but yet so beautiful. You know, when my oldest son was born, everybody said he looked just like his dad. And several years ago, and he was an adult. Raise your hand, John. He won't do it. We were up at camp, and somebody, one of the speakers, looked out and says, "Whose son is that?" And I believe it was Brother Putnam. It said, "Guess." He said, "That's Brother Grant's son." Said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. As long as that boy is alive, Brother Grant will be alive." And then all of a sudden, I started losing my hair. And I lost more, and I lost more, and I lost more. I'd like to say it was because of chemo. I took chemo for a year. And the doctor says you'll lose your hair. And so after about 2 months, I said, "Now, you told me I was going to lose my hair. When's that going to happen?" He said, "It's not." I said, "But you told me." "Yeah, but," he said, "you lose it sooner than this." Now, I don't know why, but there's some people that don't lose their hair. Boy, I thought that was something. I will have a full head of hair as long as I live. 15 years later, I started losing it. And I lost it, and I lost it, and I lost it. And well, now you can see what happened. And John is losing. His son, Kyle, No, not Kathy. His son Kyle lost his in about 10 minutes in a barber chair. But you know, I've seen these kids grow up and just marvel. You know, now John's three boys are all married and don't have any kids yet. And, Bryce's wife is just so fair and blonde. And Kyle shaved his head. His wife is so fair and, you know, and she's just beautiful. Nene, we love you, girl. Her sister Vaughn and Shane are married, and we went to a Christmas party over at John's house, and their little girl looked at her brother and said, if Kyle and Nene get married, are their kids going to look like us? So Nene has declared she's going to put a little color into the Grant family. We love you, Nene. Oh, praise God. I think I'm supposed to preach today, not talk. But we have all of these precious kids to dedicate. It's just so, so great to see them in their mom's arms and later on walking, crawling, walking. Our youngest son, Steve, he had it all backwards. What happened was he would walk and take out running, and he'd get down. I'm talking about near the wall when the door was on the opposite wall, and he would start backing up, and he'd back up and hit the wall, wouldn't hit the door. He'd get back up and run back across, get down on his all fours and back up against the wall again. I don't know what that was all about, but he had it figured out that he couldn't crawl through or walk through a door. He had to back through a door, even if it took several tries. But I've had so much fun since I can't walk very good, and I sit up here. These kids come up one by one, and they hug my neck and they say, "Bishop, we love you. I love you." And it's just, you just don't know the feeling I get. You know? And most of the time I can tell whose kid it is by the fact that they still look a little bit like their parents. Now, Jesus says in Luke 9, verse 54, "And when the disciples James and John saw this," and what the deal was, Jesus was to go to the city of Samaria. The city of the Samaritans. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, they looked at him and said, I think he's going to Jerusalem. But when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Basically what he said was, hey, boys, you don't know what a dirty, rotten attitude you have. Now, I don't know if you use the word dirty, rotten attitude. You don't know what attitude you are or you have. And the thing about it is, attitude, whether you're a Christian or not, attitude is the key to success in this life. Nobody that I know of is fond of someone that has a bad attitude. And I was pastor of Calvary Gospel Church for 45 years or better. And then the church made me bishop and chose my son as the head pastor, the senior pastor of Calvary Gospel Church. But if I see a child or a teenager that has a bad spirit, I call them up and sit them down. I remember talking to a girl one time that, boy, every time you saw her, she just looked like she's about ready to bite your head off. I said, today not a good day? No. I said, it wasn't a good day yesterday either, was it? No. I said, well, sit down. She sat down. I said, you know what? I see you smile. And you are a beautiful young lady. And I'm sure you're like all the other girls. You'd go and spend all kinds of money for stuff to make you look beautiful. Why do you want to turn around and turn a beautiful face into something that looks so ugly? Now tell me, does that make sense? No. Well, why do you do it? Well, I guess I wasn't thinking. Well, I suppose you weren't. But you know what? One of these days, there's going to be some handsome young man that's going to come by. And he's going to look at you and say, oh, what a beautiful smile. But if that doesn't happen, he won't even notice you were in the room. Because nobody wants to marry a beautiful lady that has a bad attitude. And this is true for the ladies. You don't want to marry a young man with a bad attitude. Just don't let it happen. Because if you tell your husband later on that he would be handsome if he would smile and have a good attitude, might not go too well. And that's what Jesus was saying. What do you want to be calling down fire from heaven and consuming someone? Would that make you feel good? If all of a sudden fire came from heaven and started burning these people up. Would that really make you feel good? Oh, no. Then don't be saying it. And you want to make sure in life that the things that you proclaim are the things that are good for people. If you see someone that's done a good job, tell them. If you see someone that is making others happy and everything, tell them. Tell them. Now, it takes a good attitude to save you, but please understand that a good attitude alone won't save you. Example would be that story of the young man that he was a Christian robber. Are you a Christian? He said, I am too. You can go to hell with a good attitude, but you can't go to heaven with a bad attitude. What do I need to do to be saved? I think we need to cover this. Now remember, I haven't preached in some time. The last time I preached, when we had a baby dedication. And I like baby dedications. So I'm a little rusty today, you know. John, the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you need a good attitude, and a good attitude will put you in line with God. But on the other hand, if that's all you do, then you're not going to be saved. You must be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and a spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that being born of the Spirit is receiving the Holy Ghost. Being born of the water is being baptized in Jesus' name. Now, let me explain something here. Up until this time, nobody except John the Baptist's disciples, nobody had been baptized by Jesus Christ. But after he mentioned being born of the water, what do you think he did? He took them and he baptized them. The Bible says in John 3:22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, who did he baptize? According to the fourth chapter, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. In other words, he baptized in John the third chapter, in the fourth chapter. The scripture says he didn't baptize anyone other than his disciples. Now, I've heard people say that Jesus didn't baptize anyone but that's not what the scripture says. Now, why did he do this? because he knew that those men would stand up on the day of Pentecost in the upper room in Jerusalem. And when people heard the message, he had ordained ministers that were fully equipped to baptize in Jesus' name because he had baptized those disciples. So in Acts 2:38, when this actually happened, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we have repentance, which is not a part of the new birth, but it's like the attitude. You've got to change your attitude in order to get forgiveness. You've got to ask God to forgive you in order to repent. In other words, repentance is turning around, going the opposite direction. Now, once you do that, you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the thing that's so important is that when we look at the scripture, we find a lot of scriptures. One scripture that people quote over and over and over, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Now, I want to go there, and if you will take your Bibles, and if you will go to Romans 10, Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you'll find out one thing about the Bible. The Bible makes no mistakes. The Bible does not contradict itself. And when the disciples preached on the day of Pentecost, they preached baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Phil made reference to this last Wednesday night when he preached a message probably a year and a half or so ago, in which I talked about primary evidence. Primary evidence is evidence that seemingly explains the full volume of evidence. In other words, the complete story. That's why it's called primary evidence. But there are a lot of scriptures that do not contain primary evidence, but they contain supporting evidence. You find that used a lot in court. You have an eyewitness that saw everything, testifies, I saw everything. Therefore, that person is considered to be a primary witness because he or she saw everything. But now we need some circumstantial evidence, or we need some partial evidence. So we call this witness. This witness said, well, I didn't actually see it, but this is what I saw. And he or she tells what she saw. And so the court considers that to be circumstantial or partial evidence. Another reason why it's true, but it's not the full story. And when you read the Bible and you find scriptures like this, do you consider this to be primary evidence? Or do you consider this to be partial evidence or supportive evidence? Now, listen to what I'm saying here. This is very important. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is saved. Is that what the scripture says? It doesn't say whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is saved. Does it say that? No. So you can't say that that is primary evidence. But what it does say is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, in order to be saved, you must call upon the name of the Lord. But just calling upon the name of the Lord doesn't save you. And so many people today feel, oh, if I just obey the Roman road to salvation, I'll be saved. But that's not what the scripture says. So what is happening is that Paul in Romans 10 is giving to the church at Rome supportive evidence, but not the primary evidence. And you will find that through the Bible. In Acts 10, for an example, Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch and he took and read the scripture to him. What did he read? He read Isaiah 55. And the Bible says that Philip read this and the eunuch said, oh, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? He said, if you believe with all of your heart, you can be. Now, Isaiah 55 doesn't say one word about baptism, does it? But you see, when you preach Jesus, you have to preach baptism. Because according to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. If you preach the gospel, you're going to preach Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ arose. So when Jesus Christ died, that's what happens to us when we repent. When Jesus Christ was buried, that's what happens to us when we're baptized. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead, he was resurrected, that's what happened to us when we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're wanting to see these precious children baptized Sunday in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when I told you the name of my title, and that is Your Attitude Determines Your Destiny. Now, listen to this, okay? Your attitude determines your destiny. The first thing that happens to you before you open your mouth or before you have a thought, you have an attitude. The Bible says that the Lord is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. What is your motive? What's your attitude? So the first thing that happens, you have an attitude. The second thing that happens, you have a thought. The third thing that happens, you have words. You open your mouth and you proclaim things that you've been thinking. The fourth thing that happens, you have actions. In other words, you open your mouth, you begin to express to people the way you're feeling, and then the next thing you do, you have actions. In other words, I'm going to take action against this person. The fifth thing that happens to you is your actions determine your habits. If you've got a bad habit, I'm talking about a habit of the mind here. It's because your life is getting out of control because you have not checked your attitude. And then the sixth thing that happens, your habits determine your destiny. So if you have a bad habit, if you have a bad mouth, if you can't control your thoughts, you can't control your attitude, you probably won't make it to heaven. But isn't it great that all we have to do is just control our attitude? Now we want to dedicate these babies. So Pastor Roy will come at this time, and we will have families to stand that mom and dad or the parent. Now we need Brother Mark. Kelsky, if you will. Brother Shane Mackey, Brother Thomas. I'm sorry that I didn't have these. You know what happened to me? I got almost to church and realized I left my Bible and my notepad at home. I was pastor of this church for 45 years, 44 and a half, and I've been here about 47, and I never have done that. But I did it today. Would you forgive me? Yeah. All right, we would like for the couples to bring their children or child and just stand in front of one of the ministers. I think we're short, Brother Claude. I think I saw Brother Claude was. Is he here? You got it. Okay. All right, Brother Claude, I guess they have it without you. Brother, they talk about a good attitude. I just hope that Brother Claude, if he ever rides a motorcycle, he rides it with a windshield. Otherwise, he'll get his teeth filled with bugs. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Brother Claude. Now we'd like for the family members and guests. First, the family members behind those that are here. And then we would like to have the guests to come and stand behind these people. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then the remaining congregation, we'd like for you to stand, if you would. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now to our couples and to our parent, we want you to fully understand that when you put your child in the hands of this minister, you're doing that as a symbol of putting your child in the hands of God. And are you willing to proclaim Jesus Christ as the giver of the life of your child? If so, would you put your child in the hands of a minister? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Now, would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for your love and power. We're thankful, God, for all that you have done for these families. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given to them the life of a little child, that they may help develop that child, create the best attitude in that child that they possibly can. Oh, God of heaven, I pray, Lord Jesus, keep your hand upon that child until such a time that that child reaches the age in which he or she will come to the altar and give her life or his life to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that they will someday be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, I am asking that you come and touch the parents, O God, and all of the supportive family members. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You want to give your child back to the parent now? Now, what I'd like for you to do is reach out and touch the parents that have the child or the children that they're dedicated, until we all reach out. God, I pray right now for these parents. I'm asking, God, move upon them. Keep your hand upon them, Lord. Oh, God of heaven, my Lord and Savior, be with them, God. Help them, Lord Jesus, to always be mindful that this child belongs to you and not to them, but to you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, move in a great way, Lord, upon them. Jesus, you're so good, Lord. You're so wonderful. Oh, God, and I pray for the family members, Lord, keep your hand upon them, that they will always be mindful that this child belongs to you and not to them. God, may all of these relatives, friends, and parents raise this child to magnify you, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, we dedicate the parents, we dedicate the grandparents, we dedicate the child and all the friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's lift our hands and now let's magnify the Lord. Oh God, oh God, oh God, Lord, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.